Wendy Hirsch is an expert in the fields of succession planning and talent management. In this engaging interview, Wendy gives an overview of what effective succession planning should look like in practice and offers advice and tips to help organisational leaders get the most benefit from their succession planning activities. Wendy starts by giving us her definition of succession planning.
Yes, definitions are tricky in the area of both succession planning and talent management, I think. I see succession planning as a process by which one or more successors, often more than one, are identified either for key posts or, again, more often, for groups of similar key posts in the organisation. And then the second part of it is the planning of their career moves or development activities so that those successors are made ready for the jobs you're thinking about. The final bit of the definition I add is that those successors may be people ready to do the job quite quickly, which we often call short-term successors, or they may have longer-term potential. And in many businesses, you really need to think about both.
Wendy, how would you describe this relationship between succession planning and talent management?
Well, let's have a crack first at what talent management is, and then I'd like to point out some similarities and differences between the two approaches. The CIPD defined talent management as the systematic attraction, identification, development, engagement, retention, and deployment. You notice it's a very long list. Of individuals who are of particular value to an organisation, either in view of their high potential or because they're fulfilling business or operation critical roles. So talent management gets very widely defined, but I think the essence of it is often that it is about the best people in the organisation. Now, those may be best because they have potential for the very top roles, which puts it very close to succession planning. It may also be because they're in very business critical roles. And again, that's a very close interest for succession. So let's just think about a couple of differences between talent management and succession planning. I think one of the simplest ways of thinking about it is that the talent management question often starts at the people end. It starts with saying, who are our very best people? Who has high potential? What are we doing about those people? Succession tends to start at the job end. Which are the job roles we're really concerned about round here? Who have we got who can do that job or type of job in future? And I think the consequence of those different start points are rather different strengths. In talent management, the question, who are our very best people, tends to throw up rather general talent pools of people. Who do we think would be good managers or leaders in the future, typically? Those people won't always have the specific business background, functional skills that particular kinds of roles need. And so a strength of succession planning is it makes you think more about those functional and specific skills or experience, as well as about the general ability or leadership capability of people. I think, though, there's a huge overlap between the two. You would expect that most of the people on your succession plan would figure in a talent pool and vice versa, that the people you would see as talented would be seen as short or longer term successors. Both are absolutely about developing key people for the future. And both can be done at a range of levels in the business. So they can just apply to very senior roles. But both talent management and succession planning can be used also lower down in the organisation. They can be used for specialist roles or groups of people, as well as rather general managerial groups of people. So I prefer to think of talent management and succession planning as really one integrated set of processes rather than two completely separate processes.
In your experience, Wendy, you've mentioned there that there is quite a big overlap between succession planning and talent management. Does that mean that there can sometimes be a bit of a tension between those two areas?
I think there can be, but I think it's much more a tension that HR brings upon itself in trying to use rather odd language for these things than a real tension in the minds of managers. So I think sometimes we willfully misunderstand also what succession planning really has been in the past. So people think it was only about identifying one person for a job and then putting them in it, which it hasn't been for many years, if ever. I think we also tend to assume that succession planning may be unrealistic about the amount of moving around that people do, the amount of job change in organisations. Again, I find these days line managers take all that stuff for granted, and they're not seeking either succession planning or talent management to be perfect devices for getting exactly the right people into jobs. They're really much broader devices for making sure that you have some people in your organisation that you're preparing for possible future roles. And so it's often the language of HR that makes it more complex than it needs to be, I think.
And Wendy, you've touched on this point a little bit already, but could you give me a bit more detail on how the thinking and research into succession planning has really evolved over time and kind of where we are with it now?
One of the fascinating things about succession planning is people keep thinking it's about to disappear. So that certainly in the 1990s, when writers were thinking a lot about organizational change and turbulence and the end of a job for life, that was the decade where we banged on all the time about the end of a job for life, it seemed that succession planning wouldn't be needed anymore. Oddly, most oddly, it seems extremely high on the corporate agenda again right now. And I think if we think about that, we can see a number of trends. One is, I think it has become much more a base assumption in succession planning that people won't be with you necessarily for their whole working lives, and that you will fill jobs from a mix of people who come from inside and people who come from outside. And I think that is what we would assume as a start point now. So we're not using succession planning to say we'll fill every job internally. But many organisations do want to fill a good proportion of their jobs internally for reasons of business effectiveness. I think a second trend we can see is that organisations have been trying to develop better ways of thinking about groups of jobs. That helps enormously in succession planning. So things like job families, ways of defining jobs in broad functional clusters, is very helpful in succession planning and has been a trend. Also, the way organisations now articulate leadership frameworks and the kinds of behaviours they want to see in people, particularly the way that that would incorporate behaving in line with organisational values, those bits of kit give us much better criteria for judging successors and make it much more objective. I think that's enormously helpful. So instead of saying, well, I think he or she is a good person, you can say, well, I see them as a successor because they have these particular strengths that we either need in all our leaders or we need in these particular roles. I think another really big trend is that many organisations now fill the majority of their jobs by what we would call an open vacancy process. So they advertise that vacancy to the staff and people apply. And so most succession planning now is about ensuring a good field of candidates internally. It's not about putting that person in the job. There would normally be a separate proper appointment process to choose from the candidates who come forward. Again, I think that's, we make a lot of fuss about that, but I think it's very natural that succession planning is about having some choice of people who then apply along with everyone else. I think the final point I'd like to make about the evolution of succession planning, and perhaps why it's top of the agenda again, is that it is about risk. There's a lot of interest these days in corporate risk. I think the financial meltdown has made us think a lot about risk and about governance. And so I think it may be that very current issue of risk and governance that is making us think again, well, yeah, we should do some succession planning. We should know that we're not just going to wait for a vacancy to come up and then hope when we advertise publicly, somebody brilliant will rush in.
Wendy, I wondered if you could perhaps comment on the impact that the recession is having on the way in which organisations are implementing succession planning at the moment.
Well, speaking in July 2011, this recession feels like it's becoming a way of life, isn't it? We use the word recession, but it's actually been a very complex period for organisations. Some have experienced a big dip and a bounce back. A lot are bumping along the bottom. The public sector, of course, is only just now really facing very big reductions in the workforce in some organisations. And so I think organisations are having quite a tough time predicting when they will want vacancies filled and when they will be able to offer promotion to some of their best people. So on the one hand, I think there is a sense that some people who've been in talent pipelines for a while are now wondering when, if at all, a job move might come, not just an upward job move, but even a lateral job move. And so this whole issue of keeping people interested, feeling that they're developing, feeling that they're being attended to, even at a time when perhaps not many jobs are being filled or vacancies are being frozen, I think we're seeing the need to keep close to good people there. I think when your business is in a difficult situation, it can be even riskier to go to the external market to fill core jobs. We do want some safe pairs of hands at the moment. And so to make sure you've got some of those internally can be very important, because it's no time to be taking massive risks with dodgy appointments. The other one I see is as organisations have become leaner, some job jumps have got very big indeed. I'm working with an organisation at the moment where you jump from being a middle manager to managing the workforce in a whole country. A very big job with a complex set of politics as well as a bigger workforce. And there, having active talent and succession is crucial to prepare people for those big job jumps, because otherwise you will always end up going externally because you're not giving your internal people the development they need to be effective leaders for the future. So I think this long period of recession will leave us with more of those big job jumps because we've thinned job layers out even more. And that means we have to be very careful that we haven't destroyed our career paths entirely.
Wendy, I'd like to ask you about what effective succession planning really looks like in practice, because I know that you have helped many organisations in this particular area. Could you perhaps highlight for me just a couple of examples of good practice that you have seen from across the organisations that you've worked with?
I think the issue of good practice in succession planning, for me, isn't about precise practices. It's more about keeping your mind on what you're trying to do here and joining things up properly. So a few practices I'd like to highlight are, first of all, I think having some structure of succession forums or succession committees is very helpful, because managers working with each other on this issue come to clearer, better actions than a manager working alone looking at his or her part of the business. So I think this idea of some collective process is important. The second practice I think is crucially important is actually when you've identified successors, framing some actions for them, particularly the kinds of career experiences they need. So just to give you a recent example of some work I did in the public sector, there were really two kinds of very good people. There were people who had done a lot of strategic and policy work, but hadn't ever run very big units. And there were people who'd run very big units, but hadn't seen the strategic end of the organisation very much. And actually, the thing they did, which was really simple and of most benefit, is when people were identified as successors or having talent for senior roles, then they made sure that those who'd only ever worked in head office got out and ran something for a while, and those who'd been out and had really good people leadership experience came into head office for a while and saw the strategic end of the business and the business more broadly. And the third practice I'd just like to highlight is to have some way of linking the individual with all this stuff. So if I give you a private sector example there, a company had a very simple mechanism where all the individuals in the business knew when managers were going to be talking about succession. So they could have a chat with their manager beforehand. If there were particular things they wanted that person to understand about their own aspirations, which may be that they didn't want a job move right then. And then there was an onus on managers to get back to individuals after the discussion, not perhaps to say which jobs they were signed up for, but generally how the business was thinking about their future career direction, simply to check out that the individual and the company have roughly the same sets of ideas. Otherwise, obviously, it can be disastrous.
Wendy, what would you say are the benefits of having a collective talent review committee in place to really oversee the succession planning process?
I think it's extremely important to find some mechanism for managers working on succession planning together. And it has a number of different benefits working in some kind of committee. The first one, which I think is very important for the workforce to understand, is that if each manager has to justify the people they see as high potential or the people they see as successors in front of their boss and their peers, then it makes it very difficult for them to just be using favouritism. Other people will challenge that, say, well, I notice you're picking so-and-so, but last year you were saying you didn't think they were very good. Have they changed? Has your opinion changed? It also makes it more necessary that managers justify their choices against some more objective criteria. And again, that makes it out in the open more. It makes it fairer. It makes it more likely that you identify talent or succession that are actually your best people. It also makes it harder for managers to sit on their good people, which is another thing that some managers do. So it makes it more possible for someone to say, I notice you haven't mentioned so-and-so, on your succession plan. She's very good. Why aren't we talking about her? So I think there's this huge issue about making it an objective, rather more transparent process is enormously important. Then there are a few more practical things. It is very difficult for managers to develop their people across organizational boundaries. And it's also very difficult for them to know who the successors would be in other parts of the organisation for their job. And therefore, the committee idea makes it easier to identify people who might make lateral moves and jobs that could be filled through lateral moves. And often when a manager has a vacancy that's really hard to fill, in very practical terms, other managers at their level in other parts of the business will know of very good candidates who may or may not apply. But alerting people to those candidates can be a real sort of direct business win of having a more collective process. It also makes good people visible. And I think the whole issue of visibility and networking is one we haven't talked enough about, perhaps. But we do need the business to know who its good people are and to make it more possible for those good people to extend their networks, particularly when they're rather more senior. And so that wider debate helps that. So there are actually quite a number of different ways in which managers working together on this make it a way more effective process.
Thank you for listening to this interview on succession planning with Wendy Hirsch. You can find out more about Wendy's work through the Institute for Employment Studies at www.employment-studies.co.uk and the National Institute for Career Education and Counselling at www.nicec.org.